Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And while you're turning, a couple of announcements. Our pastor and Janet are at the conference in Millsite this weekend. He sent a text yesterday and said they're just having wonderful services and great fellowship, as you'd expect. Prayers answered, that the Lord is blessing his message there. Our brother and elder Eric Floyd is preaching in College Grove today. Also want to mention our church dinner next Sunday to celebrate the zero birthdays, as we like to call them, those that are turning the 10, 20, or older. We're having a church dinner after service next Sunday, so I'm sure there's probably a sign-up sheet back there. And finally, we want to extend our sympathy to Julie Thornberry and her family for the passing of her grandmother this week. Extend our sympathy. Read with me Psalm 121. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Let's pray. Our holy heavenly Father, we pray that you send your Spirit to be with us today, to glorify your holy and matchless, incomparable name, that your name, your goodness, your sovereignty, your character be lifted up in this place today, and that Christ be glorified for his work and mercy for helpless sinners found in Christ, and because of his work and his death, his accepted sacrifice, because of Christ's blood. May Christ be glorified in this place today. I pray that you be with Gabe and give him a message from you. Speak to his heart and give him the strength to declare your word. Give us listening hearts to hear and to believe. Father, increase our faith that we may believe in thee and believe on thee. We do believe, Father. Help thou our unbelief. Remember that we're dust. Bless this time that we have together. I pray your blessing on Frank and Janet and for Eric and Abby as they travel. I pray that you be with them and bring them home safely to us. Pray for our time that we have here together as a family, that you bless this time of fellowship richly. And for those that are undergoing trial, whether it's of sickness or heartache, Father, you know the issue. Bring them through as only you can and comfort them that the trial accomplishes your will. Again, I pray that you be with us. Bless this time together. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. I'm happy to introduce this morning, who will be preaching for us, Gabe Stoniker from Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. Gabe, we're thankful that you're here with us. Thank you for being with us. I pray that the Lord will be with you. And Hannah, we're glad to have you and your lovely kids here with you as well. So, Gabe, come preach the word for us.
Yeah, that's nice. Good morning. I'm very, very happy and thankful to be here. I want to begin, first of all, by saying thank you to each one of you for all of your love and support and help to us in Kingsport. We're trying to get a new building, and very grateful to you for your support of us and help to us. I'm very thankful to Brother Frank for having me. It is a real privilege to would be asked to stand in a man's pulpit. And I'm humble and very thankful. Thankful to our hosts, Isaac and Clara. They're very good hosts, wherever they are. Yeah. But I'm just thankful. I was honestly thinking about how happy I am to be here with you right now. To just be together. Isn't it wonderful when God's people can just be together, see each other, and you rejoice in each other, and you rejoice in the fellowship that we have. The Lord has given us a very dear, sweet fellowship. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. That's the subject of this Bible study. One man defined fellowship as fellows in the same ship. And that's what we are. What makes us to be fellows in the same ship? What is the reason for our fellowship? Well, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is it right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, our text will be verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is the reason for our fellowship. That's the reason, when you get to the heart of it, that's the whole reason for our fellowship. That's what makes our fellowship wonderful. That's what makes it sweet. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our fellowship. If we have been made to be a part of the fellowship of Christ, this is why, this is the reason why, and this is how we were made to be a part of it. Why were we made to be a part of it? Verse 9 says, God is faithful. That's why. That's the reason why. It's not because of anything we were, which is what most people believe brings them into the fellowship. It's not because of anything that we've done. Not one thing we've done. It's definitely not because of anything we could offer God. It's because God is faithful. That's the only reason. The only reason. All right, now how were we made to be a part of the fellowship? Verse 9 says we were called unto it. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I would like for us in this Bible study to see specifically what it is that brings us together into fellowship. I pray the Lord will make it clear to us what causes us to be in true fellowship. What unites us in heart and mind and spirit? We already said that it's Christ. He is our fellowship. But what is it specifically in regard to Christ? Because everybody says it's Christ. You can go in any church this morning and everybody can say, amen, it's Jesus Christ. Well, what is it specifically in regard to Christ that brings us together into fellowship? After we see that, I want us to read a beautiful story of some sinners, some real sinners. I mean some real sinners who were brought into this fellowship, how they were brought together into this same particular fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, here we all are. Here we are. Here we sit. We come from different families. We come from different locations. We come from different backgrounds.
What is it that brings us together into a loving, united, single mind, single desire, single heart fellowship? What is it specifically? If someone wants to know, what is this fellowship built on? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers. And if you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see that those last three words translate, with me of grace. You all are partakers with me of grace. What is it that unites us into this sweet fellowship with Christ? It is the gospel of His grace. The gospel of His grace. The good news of His gift. That's what we unite around. Paul said, I thank God in verse 5 for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, the gospel is a very particular thing. The natural man thinks it's a very general thing. But the gospel is a very particular thing. The gospel is a very, very straight and narrow, very, very particular thing. And it's so particular. It's not a broad and general way. Not at all. Any deviation from what God's Word declares the gospel to be is not the gospel. Any deviation. Now, the reason we have multiple denominations is because of deviations. If we held to God's Word alone, there would be one denomination on this earth. We would all hold to the doctrine of Christ. That every denomination is a deviation. That's what it is. Any deviation from what God's Word declares the gospel to be is not the gospel. Doesn't matter how close it is. If it has a little leaven in it, it'll leaven the whole lump. God has recorded for us, this is my gospel. This is my gospel. Any change from it is no longer the gospel. And God's people cannot and they will not have fellowship with it. They can't.
And they just won't.
If it is not this mind, if it's not this heart and this desire and this word, God's people cannot and they will not. They won't do it. They will not have fellowship with it. Hold your place right here in Philippians and go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The grace of Christ, the gospel of the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, he said, which is not another. There's not another. A lot of people think, and they'll even make this statement, well, you believe this, and I believe that, but it's okay. We're all going to the same place in the end. We'll all come together in the end. It's not so. There's not another way. There's not another gospel. There's only one. Verse 7, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What the Apostle Paul is saying right here is, if it's not the gospel that God has declared, I can't have anything to do with it. All of God's people feel that way. They all feel that way. They all share a united fellowship in that. Now, what specifically is the gospel that God has declared? Well, go with me back to Philippians. This time, chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's going to be any fellowship of the Spirit. He said, if there's going to be any heart, that's what bowels means. If there are going to be any mercies, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, this is that fellowship. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why did he not think it was robbery to be equal with God? Because he was God. He is God. Jesus Christ is the very God. The very God. And this right here is the good news of his grace. All right, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, why did Christ do that? Why did he humble himself and become obedient to death. He did that to save his people from their sin. He took upon himself all of the sin of his people. All of it. And he suffered for it. And he bled for it. And he died for it. And after all of the punishment was poured out on him, all of God's judgment, after it was poured out on him and everything was satisfied in him, after he died and he was buried and he rose again, after all of that sin was gone, he walked out of that grave, he ascended back up to his Father, and he sat down on his throne. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All right, now here is our fellowship. This is my fellowship with you, and our fellowship with you, and our fellowship with you, and our fellowship with you. All right, here is our fellowship. This is our fellowship. We all cry, those of us who are made to be a part of this fellowship, we all cry, "He must be exalted." We all cry, "I must decrease. He must increase." We all cry, "His name is above every name, especially my name." John the Baptist was in this fellowship with us. He said, "It doesn't matter what my name is. You can forget about my name. I'm not worthy to stoop down. I'm not worthy to bow down to him. I'm not even worthy to bow down to him." We all bow to the cross. All of us. Every tongue in the fellowship confesses he is our sovereign. He is the sovereign. He is the ruler. He is the owner. He is the controller. He is the decider. Are we going to be saved? Are we going to be saved? Are we going to go to heaven? Here's what every soul in the fellowship says. He's the decider. It's not a, if it was left up to me, here's the answer. No. I'll tell you where I'm going if it's left up to me. If God leaves me to myself and my will and my decision, I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. He's the decider. Salvation is in his hands. This is what every soul in the fellowship cries. Salvation is totally in his hand. You mean to tell me you don't even have a say in the matter? Every soul in the fellowship cries. Absolutely not. We are in his hands to do with us whatever he pleases to do with us. Everything is in his hands. Whether we perceive it as a good thing, a bad thing, everything is in his hands. We cry, "All glory to God be for it." All glory to God be for all of it. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's what every soul in the fellowship says. You mean to tell me even if God killed you, you'd still bow to him? Yes, sir. By his grace, by his producing something in me, by him drawing me into this fellowship of his spirit. Amen. That's what unites us in the fellowship of Christ our Lord. The glory the praise, the honor. We love Him. We bow before Him. We love who He is. We love who He is. You know, men and women say they love God until you tell them who God is. As soon as they find out who God is, they realize, well, I don't love that God as much as I thought I did. I know a believing woman that somebody told her, I hate your God. We love Him as He is, for who He is. We love Him for what He's done. While man wants to take part in salvation, man wants a decision, man wants a say, man wants a work, we love that we have no say, we have no decision, we have no work, we have no part. We love that. We love Him for who He is and what He has done. Paul said in Philippians 3, if you look with me at Philippians 3, verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He's talking about his religion. All those good things that he did in religion. He was a fine Christian boy. That's what he's talking about. Everything that made me to be a fine Christian boy. Verse 8, he said, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. A man made the statement one time, he said, I'm not trying to get people saved. I'm trying to get people saved. And that's what happened to Paul. All his life, he was a saved young man. He was saved, he was saved, he was saved. And when God revealed himself to Paul, when Christ revealed himself, all of a sudden he cried, I'm lost. And if God ever saves a person, the first thing he'll do is say, you're lost. If a man ever becomes lost, he said, I count everything dung that I may win Christ, verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, meaning it's not by me obeying the Ten Commandments and everything else I read in there, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My hope of glory is not based on how I've kept the law of commandments. My hope of glory is not at all based, and I believe everybody in this fellowship will say the same thing. My hope of eternal life is not based at all on how I have kept the law of commandments. My hope of glory is based on how Christ has kept the law of commandments. Accomplished it for me. Did it all for me. My hope of glory is how He robed me in His perfect work. He came here, and for 33 and a half years, He fulfilled every jot and tittle of this book. This book says, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do this, and don't you dare do that. Christ came, and He did it all, and didn't do one thing. And then He took all of that and He robed me in it. And in the very moment He robed me in all of His perfection, He robed Himself in all of my sin. That's my hope and glory. Is that not our fellowship? Is that not what absolutely unites us in this fellowship? Verse 10 right here says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What truly unites God's people? It's the fellowship of His sufferings. When He suffered, we suffered. You know, God's people don't get a
get-out-of-jail-free card. You know that?
God's people are not exempt from the judgment of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. And all of God's people fell into the hands of the living God. They all stood before the judgment throne and they didn't make it. We didn't make it. We didn't survive. God judged us based on how we lived our life on this earth, and none of us made it. God said, guilty, die. In the person of his own son. He stood there as us. He stood there as Gabe Stoniker, and he said, this is what I've done. And God said, and because of that, we stand there in the person of Christ. In all of his work, saying, this is what I'm doing. In him. He said, we are united in the fellowship of his suffering. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. And when he arose, we arose. The Apostle John said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with him. Our fellowship is in him. Now, what amazes me about this fellowship is who God the Father chose to call into it. Does that not amaze you? Who he chose to call into it. The only way that a person can be made to be a part of it is if he or she is called into it. Every member of the fellowship is hand-selected by God. Every member. And what amazes me is who he selected. This story, is a wonderful story. This is a true account, all right? This is going to show us who he selected. And if you've never seen this or entered into this, this would be a great blessing. The people in this story represent every soul that he calls into the fellowship. From all generations, they represent us. If we have been called in, then all of these people in the story represent you and me. Seeing this will give us a much greater appreciation for being called in. Now the story is in Acts chapter 2, but go with me first to Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. All of these people, this whole multitude, represents you and me. All right, this is you and me. Verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. They became more fierce about it. He said, I don't find any fault in this man. And they all became more fierce. Well, after Pilate examining him again, he said, I find no fault in him again. It says in verse 16, he said, I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Now, who is this again? Who's saying this again? Verse 22, And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus. Look at these last three words. To their will. To their will. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Peter here in Acts chapter 2 stood up in Jerusalem and he said in verse 22, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, and he's quoting Psalm 16 right here. He said, David foretold of this. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be removed. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Peter said in verse 29, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now that's a message. He didn't say, Now men and brethren of Israel, if you'll accept him and he said, be it known unto you all, this is what you did, this is what God did, and this is who he is now. He preached his sovereignty. All right, verse 37. Now when they, these same people, that same multitude, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They didn't know they were sinners. They said, no, that's not, that's them. That's not, you're talking about them, not me. all of a sudden they realized, thou art the man. A lot of people say, well, if I'd been alive back then, I would have stopped all that. No, you would not have. I would never. God's Spirit pierced them and said, you're the man. You hung Christ on the cross. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. That's amazing, isn't it? Always, it was always, from the foundation of the world, it was always to you. But we're the ones who took him and crucified him. The promise was always to you. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That mob of people who laid hold of him and brought him to Pilate, crying, crucify this man. 3,000 of them were called into the fellowship that day. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That sounds like a wonderful fellowship, doesn't it? It is. That is the fellowship that we have in Christ. That's the fellowship that all of God's people have wherever they are. Wherever they are. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it. I am so thankful to be a part of it. I am so thankful you are a part of it. I'm thankful for every soul that God calls into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, His Son. And the reason we continually preach this gospel is because we know that He has more sheep that must be brought into the fold. And we pray He will. Lord, call your people and bring them into the fellowship. Oh, thank you.